I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Thursday, and I'm here with Alyssa Farah Griffin. This is Behind the Table. Hello, Alyssa.
Hello, Brian.
How are you today?
I'm great.
All right. We had a great show today. We had big names. We had, this kind of perfect view kind of show because we had good hot topics. Then we had Stormy Daniels for a couple of segments, which is big and newsy. And she's got a documentary out called Stormy. And then we had Gisele Bündchen, iconic supermodel, doing a cooking demo. So this was kind of the best of everything. Let's talk about Stormy. So as somebody who was in the White House, and obviously you joined the White House after the Stormy storm had happened, but you were in adjacent places and things like that. What were those conversations like? Did she come up often? Did that legal possibility come up?
You know, it's interesting. So she's obviously been in the headlines and like the public consciousness since the race in 2016 when all this came out. I don't remember her coming up much in when I was in the White House, but granted that was the end of 2020. But I do think obviously Alvin Bragg's decision in New York and bringing up this hush money case against the former president has kind of brought this all back to the forefront. To be honest, I hadn't thought about Stormy Daniels probably since when Donald Trump was first elected. And now it's like we're once again hearing sort of these sordid allegations and these steps that were taken and the efforts to cover it up. And here's what's interesting. Two things. She was a lovely person. She's very, very funny. She's thoughtful. She's empathetic. And in the documentary, you see that this is somebody who felt like they needed to come forward, but so desperately wants to take her life back and get to be private and quiet and enjoy her family. But on the other side of it, this is a still very active and real thing. She's very likely will have to testify against the former president. Mm-hmm. Now, I've said for a long time, the Alvin Bragg case and the hush money case doesn't matter politically, but it still matters for Donald Trump. And I say it doesn't matter politically because I think Republicans made peace with themselves about the fact that, yes, he had an affair with an adult film actress and this happened and he maybe paid her off. They kind of made peace with that in 2016. I don't think for anyone it fundamentally changes things. But Donald Trump cares about it. And this one's also obviously personal within his family as well.
This documentary coming out, I mean, there wasn't a ton of new information. It was interesting and more details. Do you think this sort of thing would affect the Trump voter in any way or probably not?
I don't think it affects the Trump voter, but I think it affects the public's viewpoint on Stormy.
Sure. And probably reminds them.
It reminds them. This is a human. This is a woman. She's a mother. And you see so much more dimension to her and what she's been through. And it is interesting. I mean, her story, while very different, mirrors so many people in the Trump era who came forward and then they got harassed and then they got threatened and then they basically had to go into hiding. Like, this didn't used to be a normal thing in our politics, that there was just a trail of people whose lives were so disrupted from their association with Donald Trump.
We talked, she mentioned she was on the show 6 years ago. That was early into my tenure here. And I remember it was such a firestorm when she came out with her story. The View had maybe the second interview with her. I think she was on Jimmy Kimmel first and then she was on with us. And it was a very big day here. And hearing her talk about it was kind of shocking at the time. But I do think you're right. I think people kind of have grown just immune a little bit to some of these
things. And by
the
way, they shouldn't be. It should shock you that somebody who may be the president again and was the president cheated on his then, I believe, pregnant wife with an adult film actress and then paid her off to silence her. Like, those facts should shock the public. But I think in the Trump era, it's almost like a ranking of things that we should be afraid of and angry about. And to me, of all the cases and the 89 charges against him, the case that matters the most to Republicans is January 6th.
Absolutely.
If that goes to trial, that will change the minds of a lot of Republicans who are trying to hold their nose and vote for him when they remember just how much he like lit the Constitution on fire or tried to.
And I have to say, of course, allegedly for all of this, Donald Trump denies everything about this these cases. But when you mentioned the January 6th thing, again, I do wonder. So you do believe that a guilty verdict in the January 6th trial would change the mind of people that are going to vote for him?
Yes. It won't change the majority of the Republican Party's mind, but it will absolutely change enough to deny him the election. If this goes to trial, you'll very likely There will be testimony very likely from Vice President Pence,
right.
Mark Meadows, his former chief of staff, people who Republicans have known and trusted and believed for many years. And the facts are damning. And I think people have been able to put it out of their mind, and voters. It was, you know, over 3 years ago. There's other priorities. But it uniquely underscores how unfit he is and just how in the moments that call for leadership, he lacks the character to do the right thing.
It's funny because, you know, when we talked about the Mike Pence failure to endorse earlier in the week. And there was a lot of dismissive people in the media, some people at our table that just said, this won't make an impact, this won't make an impact. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about the idea of him testifying, so many people that were beloved by the MAGA world were easily turned on when they went away.
Mm-hmm.
You took your hits, I know. But I'm saying people that, you know, the Michael Cohens or people that were very much part of that. But Mike Pence, it's very hard to paint a picture of Mike Pence where he's quote unquote selling out.
Right.
You know, he's not doing this because people think he's trying to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he's actually doing it at great personal loss.
And for no benefit other than to tell what he believes is the truth. And I think that's
1,000%. I actually think some in the media and many pundits have really underplayed the absolute historic significance of Pence not supporting Trump. This hasn't happened in modern history.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also, like, to know Mike Pence, which I do very well, this is a deeply conservative person. This is somebody who the idea of doing anything to potentially boost a Democrat in the election is just unthinkable to him. And to break with Trump, somebody that he believes he's deferential to, he was deeply loyal to, it's hugely significant. And I said on the show, I think it ultimately comes down to the anti-constitutional actions that Donald Trump took. But I also think it's foreign policy. I think it's betraying Ukraine and not supporting them. And also, I didn't mention this, Pence has a very good relationship with Joe Biden. When he was vice president, they talked infrequently, but they talked. I was in meetings that they had together. There used to be sort of tradition in politics where, you know, outgoing office holders
sure.
would keep relationships with those who hold office after. And I know that he knows Joe Biden is a good man. I also know he disagrees with 90% of his policies, but I think he's not worried that Biden being in office is going to undermine the Constitution and the very democratic fabric.
It goes back
fabric.
To what Liz Cheney said, that, you know, she could survive 4 years of bad policies in her mind, but
yes.
not
exactly.
The end of democracy. Yeah, no, it's very interesting. And I agree with you. I think it's been underplayed,
mm-hmm.
the fact that Pence won't endorse. And maybe it'll take him talking more, and maybe it'll take him being under oath.
Well, I think so. But also keep in mind, so there were Ohio elections two nights ago, and about 20% of voters, Republican primary voters, voted for somebody other than Trump. In Florida, his home state, deep red Florida, we talk about Florida like it's the, you know, breeding ground of MAGA, as many as, I believe it was over 11% voted for somebody other than Donald Trump in the primary. There is this undercurrent that I don't feel like we're properly appreciating of Republicans like me who are lifelong Republicans, never vote for a Democrat, but can't be with Trump. And I think Mike Pence gives them not just a permission, but also an empowerment to say, you know, this one time I'm not going to be with the Republican nominee.
All right. Well, in other news this week and other political news, Trump's many legal cases have been making headlines, but also ex-Trump advisor Peter Navarro reported to prison for his contempt of Congress conviction. He's a former colleague of yours. Is that weird for you?
Ryan, it's so weird. I sometimes think back on the, like, last few years. I'm like, how is this real life?
Yeah.
Peter was kooky. He had, like, a toaster in his office in the White House. He was sometimes, you know, people would leave him out of meetings because he'd go on tangents and go all over the place. But I actually personally liked him. And he was really big on policy around China. And some of what he would press for, I agreed with. So we had a relationship. He was friendly to me and I think probably saw me as an ally. But once I left, man, I mean, I think he called me and some other former staffers pimp ladies. I don't even know what that means.
I remember that.
Accuses us of, you know, selling out and grifting and all these things. And these folks also don't realize that, like, usually when you speak out against Trump, you're going to have at least a year or so of loneliness, lack of opportunities, friendships ended, people not returning phone calls. It's actually the quite opposite. But that's wild to me. I mean, we've not seen something like this in our lifetime where so many people associated with a former president wind up in jail.
It's really unbelievable.
And I don't like to see it, by the way. I don't get any joy out of hearing, you know, that Peter Navarro's in jail. I wish he'd made different decisions.
We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts. Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that brings me to the next topic that we've been talking about. We opened the show yesterday talking about Beyoncé, of all people, topping the country music charts in almost what seems to be a revenge move. And we were talking about it more in the Hot Topics meeting, but revenge is motivation. And we got the impression from some of the hosts that revenge is a motivator for them, other ones not. Like Joy doesn't hold on to things. She really moves on very quickly. God bless her. Sunny Hostin, revenge
take
motivates.
It to the grave.
Yeah, she will. She will. When she feels wrong, she's there. I get the impression Anna's in a similar state. I don't think Whoopi is. I don't think Sarah has ever contemplated revenge. I'm driven a lot by revenge. Tell me about you.
So, okay. I do think success is the greatest revenge, but I don't think that you need to make peace to get over things that would make you need revenge. So anytime, like if I think about my time in Trump world, things people have said about me, ways that I've been lied about, I could dwell on that and be like, I really want to show them and I want to stick it to them. But then I'm letting them occupy too much space and time in my mind. So I like to just pivot to like move forward and accomplish my goals. Not in a professional sense. I do have one revenge story that was, again, unintentional, but how success is sometimes the greatest. I've talked a number of times about the ex I had who like rampantly cheated on me.
Yes.
This is so many years ago. I could not have cared less at this point in my life. I was with Justin. We were living together. We were engaged. We weren't engaged yet, but I was working at the Pentagon. So I was the Department of Defense spokeswoman. In my rank within the Pentagon, because I was a Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, meant I was the equivalent to a 2 to 3 star general. So there's protocols in the Pentagon. So if I walk into a room to people who are in uniform, they would have to stand if they were lower ranking than me, and they could only refer to me as Miss Farah.
Did they salute you?
They don't salute because I'm civilian.
Right.
But he, not to give away anything about what he worked, his background, but there was once a meeting that he was in with, you know, a few hundred other folks. And when I walked in, they all had to rise and greet Miss Farah as she presented to the room. And I was like, that was a moment that I was like, damn, success feels good.
Yeah, I would think so. Wow. Oh, that's rough.
Yeah.
For him. Yeah, that's great. No, I have similar stories. I rarely get stood for it. But other than that, I hold on to things a little bit too much, I think. But that's okay.
I think I compartmentalize, but you have to. Do you get? I don't know.
Yeah, I find it useful, honestly. Yeah. I feel like it kind of like gives you a little bit of oomph when you need it sometimes.
I'm actually trying. I could be a little bit like Joy when I forget that people like...
Have wronged you?
Not even wronged me, but like in this field, people think that they can always have an opinion about me. And I sometimes forget about people who said nasty things about me. But luckily, I have my husband to remind me. So if I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, so-and-so made a good point here. He's like, remember in 2012 when they said this? You need that.
Exactly. You need someone to just pull up the tweets when you need them. All right. Okay. And then also we had Giselle here, which was, I mean, she is like an iconic supermodel, one of the most famous in the world ever. And she was lovely.
I was so excited because it's Giselle and you just want to see what she's like in person. Top five nicest, warmest, and most memorable guests. Everyone. She talked to my hairdresser, Joey, forever, who's from Brazil, and this was like his Super Bowl meeting her. She's just like a lovely, down-to-earth person. And I'm like, how? Sarah and I were joking. We're like, how did you win the genetic lottery and you have like the personality lottery as well? But honestly, there's certain guests that we've had that stand out to you because they just... There's just a warmth and like a they're as excited to talk to you as you are to them. And I'm sure that's probably like whatever. But like Jennifer Garner was one like that, too. It just stuck with me. I was like, that's such a lovely person and you just want to be around them.
She seemed really sincerely happy to be here and happy to talk about her book and excited for
it. She and Joy had great banter. I'd watch a Joy Giselle show any day.
Me too. All right. That's great. Well, we have a listener question. It's for you and let's hear it.
Hi, my name is TJ and my question is for Alyssa. I'm a huge fan, and I was just wondering if you have any advice for a college student like me who wants to go into politics and journalism someday. Thank you.
Thank you, TJ. That's such a good question. So intern. So if you're in college and you have the opportunity, I feel like, you know, the best thing you could do to set yourself up well for jobs down the line is just to get as much experience as you can. So whether it's a local paper, apply there. I thought being a congressional intern was the absolute coolest experience in the world. And it's competitive, but it's not as hard as you'd think because there's 435 offices. Most of them take multiple interns. And just I think if applying to your local congressman, even if they don't have the same political viewpoints, is a good way to do it because they tend to want to take constituents as interns. And just absorb every bit of information if you get a chance to. I also think in politics and journalism, because they're aligned in complementary fields, but they're separate, I think while you're figuring out what course you want to get on, learn both. So I would say do a journalism internship and do a political one and see which one appeals to you more. And understanding the other will help you be better at the positions.
Yeah, I have no politics experience at all, but on the journalism side, I have to say, and in broadcasting, internships are absolutely everything. It's really in an industry that, you know, is filled with people who knew somebody to give them a leg up. If you don't know anyone, and I didn't when I started, internships are how you get to know people. It's how you make contacts and make connections that can really lead to other opportunities. And I my whole career is based on the back of the internships I got to do.
So same. Honestly, one internship that I had opened the door to like three jobs ahead that I had. It was a connection I made who just kept coming through for me in, you know, bringing up my name in rooms that I wasn't in. And that's invaluable to have those connections.
Yeah. All right. Before we go, you saw an Enemy of the People on Broadway this week with Jeremy Strong and Michael Imperioli, also known as Christopher Moltisanti.
Yes.
How was it?
It was so good. If you're in New York, you have to see it. So my husband is friends with a producer on the show, and he was so excited. We were front row, which I've never been at a Broadway show.
Oh, that's fun.
And it was incredible. Jeremy Strong, I think, is one of the absolute best actors out there, but you're used to seeing him in these like huge roles, like in Succession as Kendall Roy, and like where there's just, you know, he's larger than life. And seeing him in this smaller, more intimate space and in acting in a role that's so different was just really amazing. Michael Imperioli was perfect. Basically, the storyline, big picture, is it's an Ibsen play, and it's basically about a whistleblower in a town talking about how the water supply is poison. And he's a doctor and he's a scientist, and the townspeople don't believe him. And it shows the dynamics of the role the press can play in covering up corruption and danger, the role that elected officials can, and kind of the mob mentality. And it's so pertinent to today. I saw the New York Times write-up compared him to a Dr. Fauci. I was watching it and thinking of like Trump whistleblowers. Like you can kind of choose what you think it is, but it's exquisitely done and so much fun. But the fun part, I was going to say, I told you this already, Brian. I don't get recognized that much. I'm no Whoopi Goldberg. I got recognized 10 times in that theater.
I'm telling you, there's a Broadway
thing. I had so many
thing.
People and asking for selfies, and I was like, Broadway is my place.
Broadway is your place. I'm telling you, because I go to a lot of shows. I enjoy Broadway very much, but my wife is obsessive and wants to see everything. She devours it. So if we get the opportunity to go, I'll always go. And I get recognized at Broadway mm-hmm. shows more times than not. And so I would imagine this is for you. I mean, for someone who's a star of the show, like that's got to be a huge.
It was very exciting and validating. I don't think my husband has seen me be recognized that many times. I was also very excited because I was seated like three seats in front of Adam Driver. And I was like, how do I have a better seat than Adam Driver?
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you talk to Adam Driver?
Okay, listen, there was an acknowledgement that he knew who I was. It was like a smile and a nod. And I was like, I will take it, Kylo Ren.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, he did kill Han Solo, but otherwise, I'd love to have him here.
Other than that, yeah, please come by.
Please come by. That'd be great. Oh, very cool. All right, so I think the answer to this is let's step up your Broadway
participation. That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, I got
a long
list.
The one place where you and I are cool is on Broadway.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you for joining me, Alyssa. Tomorrow, I will be back with Anna Navarro. In the meantime, if you have a question or want advice from me or a co-host, today's question was great. Check the episode description for the number to our Behind the Table hotline. In the meantime, leave us reviews. I devour them. I read every single one. I appreciate them. I internalize them. And, you know, rate us and subscribe and tell your friends. And we'll talk to you soon.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.